Let's go! 3, 2, 1!
Welcome to another episode of Functional Fundamentals. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brad.
And today we are going to be talking about balance. So energy in versus energy out. Identifying when you should be focusing on one or the other. Because essentially you spend your days in one of two states. You're either exerting energy or something, whatever, or you're taking it in. So a couple examples of just exerting energy could be going to work, working out, giving advice to a friend, you know, listening to somebody. All that are just forms of exerting energy, whether it be physical, mental, emotional. And then as far as like taking it in, sleep, eating, meditation, a bunch of different things, because people, you also have different types of people. So some people take in energy from being around more people, and then some people take in energy by being alone. Mm-hmm. So kind of talk about our experiences with that, and then like, I don't know, what we do. Mike, you are working with people all day. Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say you're expending energy all day, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, throughout it, or and then how you recharge your batteries?
So yeah, so the beginning part is with most of the people I deal with, especially lately. I don't know why, it's like everybody's getting hurt lately, and they're not my athletes. They're
trying to get ready for those summer beach bodies.
That could be. And they're probably overexerting themselves.
They're just like, oh, crap, I only got a month now. When you should have started back in, mm-hmm. you know, well, last June.
20 years ago, maybe, yeah. For some of these people.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that is people are trying to pick up their, I guess, their weightlifting routines or in their intensity or their training aspects, and they're starting to get hurt. And I guess maybe through the podcast or just through Facebook or just word of mouth, my name has been thrown around as a fixture to help some of these people. And it seems like for the last week and a half, and you actually came and
helped. Like maybe they've been listening to like a podcast or something.
I
and
said
they heard
maybe
about
it was
you.
A podcast. It was a podcast.
I didn't know we send this out.
Hold on, we publish this?
Yeah. No, I, well, yeah.
Crap, I thought this was just like a journal.
I thought we were in the safety net, a circle of trust.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's gotten bigger now.
That's oh, goodness.
Huge. We're getting some followers. We're getting some comments. Mostly good. Some people don't like
it. Better be good. David Bray's coming after you.
I'm going to knock your effing block off.
Oh, don't worry. We can start cussing now because our last podcast had so many F-bombs in it.
Well, I just like to say the word F instead of.
Well, it's actually a letter. It's
no,
not a word.
E-F-F. Oh, you so go it. Fuck yourself. Anyway.
I have no idea what I was
You saying. Said lately you've been yeah. working with people.
Yeah. So. And you're probably absolutely right where most people are starting to get injured now because they're starting to realize it's getting nicer out and they're probably increasing their intensity. So mentally, I've been just kind of, you know, people contact me, hey, I have, you know, a shoulder issue, a hip issue, a knee issue. And typically I always like to do is before I meet an individual, I always like to kind of just redo my anatomy, kind of check up, you know, almost like a study a little bit just so if something uncommon comes up, I'll be able to at least assist them in some way. An example, like when we had the one lady come in and she was complaining about her knee. And then we did an assessment and then we kind of did probably about 20 minutes worth of mobility stuff and she still had that ache. So then just me, you know, from a couple weeks prior, me reading an article about glute activation and how that can sometimes cause inadequate hamstring strength, which, you know, can put pressure on the knee. So we did that test. We made her do a glute activation exercise. Then we got the pain to go away. So and I think mentally I've been getting drained because it's been not overthinking, but just making sure that when I start applying, I guess, not new practices, but the seasonal practices to people over and over and over again, it's just, you know, trying to help each individual. And it seems like every case I've been coming across these last couple of weeks have all been different. An ankle, a hip, a knee, a shoulder, a wrist, an elbow. It's kind of to the point where, wow, I got to take a step back a little bit because my mind is just, like, ready to explode. And it's not a bad thing because in every single one of these cases, we've actually assisted the individual. Like, I had some this morning. They came complaining about a shoulder, and then we end up fixing their shoulder and their hips, and they felt better, so much better coming in. And then I guess it's always rewarding when they kind of limp in and jog out because they're feeling so much better. So I can't be upset because I was put an opportunity to help these people. But on the flip side, I've spent so much time helping these people, I haven't been taking care of myself these last probably week and a half. Like, typically my workouts would be, you know, good 25 to 30 minutes of, you know, either kettlebell, barbell stuff, or dumbbell stuff, you know, decent intensity, like you guys all seen the pro workouts I have. And then typically I'll run a couple miles or something.
Mm-hmm.
And lately it's been either or. It's either 25 minutes of the intensity or the running, and I don't have enough time to do both. And I don't know if it's, and it's not like I don't have enough time in the calendar, it's just I'm checked out. It's like, I'm done, I just want to go home. And then when I go home, normally I'm cracking open a book or, you know, read an article. Like the article I sent you, that was the last article I read. That was like, what, a week and a half ago or something?
That was a long article.
Right, but that was the last one I read. And I typically read one a day. It could be anywhere from, you know, 5,000 words to 100, depending on the article. But I go home, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there. And normally, if I do watch TV, it's some documentary or some, you know, something that actually has volume to it. I've been watching It's Always Sunny reruns.
Those are funny.
One, but it's just like, it's,
don't
it's
bash,
mindless.
It's Always Sunny.
But I'm watching it because it's mindless TV. I don't have to think. It's just funny. I'm not, basically, what I'm trying to say is, I don't feel
so
like
you're not always a snob watching documentaries. Sometimes you actually.
Yeah. But normally what I try to do is I'll watch a documentary, I'll read an article, then I'll watch this other stuff. But like I'm saying, as I'm going home, I don't feel like I'm bettering myself with staying on top of, you know, my knowledge and my know-how because I just want to be like, take a step back.
Yeah, I'm usually the same way as far as like going home, watching documentaries or reading, and instead of It's Sunny, I watch like mindless TV when I'm not doing that. It's like Ink Master, something like Tattoo.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But so do you think you're a person who draws energy from other people, like an extrovert, or do you feel that you're more of an introvert where you need time alone? Outside of the 2 to 3 weeks that you've been in kind of a funk, do you feel what you are normally?
I guess it all depends. I mean, like, sometimes I do like alone time. Like, something that relaxes me is, like, on a nice sunny day, is take a book and just walk to the park and read or go for a long run outside, just, you know, in, you know, the woods or something like that. That sometimes is good. But also being around, you know, friends and families, you know, loved ones. That also helps. So I guess it's kind of more of how I'm feeling that particular day. I would say it's one or the other. Both seem to work. But I guess it all tends to be on the mood. Like if I've spent a lot of time doing a lot of research, like I said, I've been alone, then I think I want to surround myself around loved ones. If I've been with a lot of people, then I think that's when I just want to go and unplug. And
so you're like just a consistent balance. I think that's the case for a lot of people. I mean, some people may like lean one way or the other, but I personally, like, I need consistent alone time.
Well, like, well, one thing I do, like, I did this last week, which was weird. I just went to lunch, and I normally stay local when I go to lunch. Like, I just hit it and go. And I actually purposely did schedule anybody for, like, 2 hours after lunch. So I went up to Easton, got lunch, and I just walked around the whole mall area for, like, an hour and a half. And I just was listening to a podcast. I cleared my head and I felt more grounded. And I felt like I was able to service a better product for the rest of my athletes the rest of the day. Because I think I was able just to kind of, like, take a deep breath.
Yeah. I mean, like Dave said, I think most people are kind of like that too. And you may lean slightly one way or another. And I'm kind of with Dave. It's like I need my alone time, especially in a similar field to you where I don't necessarily want to spend time with each of these individuals. I don't know them. They're random strangers, and they're very draining, emotionally draining. You know, some of them have mental illnesses, and some of them have their in the last dying moments. So when I, every day after work, like I find I need my time to take energy in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am kind of forced to expend energy for 8 hours out of the day. And like Dave was saying in the beginning, you know, you can expend energy. Sometimes just being in a stressful environment, even if you're not in contact with anyone, just being in a stressful environment takes energy from you.
Yes.
So I need to be in a relaxing environment. And like I always said, like coming home from work, I try different things to take energy in. Play video games, read, do whatever, and sometimes things work better than others. But what I found ultimately that works best for me is a guided meditation. And, you know, I'm very competitive, so I thought at one point playing video games after work for half hour, hours, like a good coping mechanism. Absolutely not, because what I found out, like, gets super intense, like playing with my brother, someone, and getting really competitive. So I'd go from a stressful environment into sometimes a good one or sometimes a stressful one. So Right. It's a trial and error, and like, oh no, that's not a good coping mechanism. But 100% of the time, the guided relaxing meditation for me does the trick every day after work to take energy in.
That brings up a question for me that I just thought of now. What do you guys think about the timing as far as like, it's all well and good to take in energy and give out energy. How big do you think the timing of when we're taking in energy plays, like comes into play? Because maybe some people, like they, like as far as if you look at time in versus time out, they have the same as us. But maybe one of us, you, namely you, Brad, you're timing that block of... taking that block of time after work, mm-hmm. immediately after work, mm-hmm. and you're utilizing that to take in your energy. Do you think that may be more effective than, say, like, maybe look at me, sometimes I will go to work, then immediately go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
which can be a social interaction when you're talking about, like, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, so you're dealing with other people. So I'm dealing with people, I get home, and then by the time I'm alone, like, it might be too little too late. And then I just carry that over into the next day.
Yeah,
It compounds and compounds.
For sure, I agree with that. And, again, I'm not an expert on it, but for my own personal life, I've been really doing trial and error with time. And what is most beneficial for me is, like, I need something immediately after work. That time set aside to take energy in, and then I can go do my other tasks. And I've tried it. 2 hours after work, I've tried it at night, and I found that meditating at night is the least effective for me.
It's just like going to bed.
Yeah, essentially. So basically, you have all this stressful time, like, oh, I have to get my meditation in. I'll just do it before bed. And then you, like, get relaxed and you go to sleep. It turns into bed, and it's not, like, that calmness that I achieved. I don't get to, you know, see the fruits of my labor, essentially, because I'm just in bed.
You don't get to analyze it afterwards.
Yeah, you don't get to feel the peace.
Your brain.
Yeah, because, you know, depending on what types of meditations you do, you feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do more of a peaceful one versus mindfulness, you'll essentially get up and go on with your day and just be slower, mm-hmm. and intentionally slower and at more peace. But if you just go to bed after that, you don't get that benefit. So I'm right there with you because, again, we've done jiu-jitsu together.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're rushing from work to jiu-jitsu, especially if you plan on competing or if you're taking it very competitive or seriously,
it is not,
just like the video game example, it doesn't mean it's a coping mechanism. Just because you're going there getting socialization and exercise, it does not mean you're getting energy in, because how you interpret what's happening.
Focus. Yeah.
Well, it's all how you interpret it,
yeah.
too, because if you are doing jiu-jitsu in a competitive mindset, if you get beat by everyone there, you're going to have a bad day, and you're going to go out of the gym,
True. And
you're going to beat yourself up. But if you're going there with the mindset, I'm going to have fun and de-stress, it doesn't matter if you get beat by everyone. You're be like, all right, whatever, mm-hmm. see you next week. So it depends on your mindset as well.
Yeah, because I've gone from work to a normal gym as well. And just
a normal gym,
swam, like just did laps.
You mean a health club?
Sure, a health club.
A health club.
A fitness
elliptical, working for an hour.
A fitness facility, but
Zumba class.
Because I'm not interacting with anybody else.
Water aerobics.
That's fantastic. Because I get that time alone.
Plus, water's peaceful for me. Water's peaceful.
I mean, even though I probably felt like I was going to drown the entire time because I'm terrible at swimming, but it was still more peaceful.
So you have PTSD from your swimming experience?
Like, oh no, I'm drowning. But, so, Mike, when are you placing your time in? It sounds like it's all at the end of the day.
Yeah. I try to put some of it in, like, before I go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to get a workout in, and if I have time, that's kind of what it is. But like I said, lately, I haven't had the time. Normally, I'd always schedule a workout.
So you haven't made the time?
Yeah.
Everybody has time.
Right. I've been scheduling appointments to meet new athletes instead of saying, no, this is my spot to train. I've been opening the door, and that's one more thing I said before we started, where I need to put better guidelines or stipulations on my time and say no more often than I say yes. And I'm not saying it's a selfless thing or a selfish thing. It's just that I've told you
get a diluted version of you if they get one with less energy than normal.
Right. Well, that's the biggest thing is I'm not taking care of myself. So I'm not really practicing what I'm preaching lately. And I want to help as many people as I can. I know that sounds cliche. And I will always try to help someone if I can. But like you said, it doesn't really help an individual if I'm not helping myself because they're getting a diluted version of what I can offer. So, and I kind of like these last few days they haven't been bad, but like I think it kind of came crashing down today because I think this is the worst I felt, like mentally and physically, like I just feel completely out of it. Like it almost feels like I just got hit in the head by some big
stuff. Yeah, because it compounds. Like the more you put it off, I can speak from experience that it just compounds and compounds and compounds. And that's when you see someone like, quote unquote, like break. Yeah. And that could come about in a bunch of different ways. They could go on a drunken bender for the weekend. They could unplug for an entire weekend, like, and kind of freak out their family. Like, okay, instead of just like half an hour alone or an hour alone, like I need like 3 or 4 days alone, mm-hmm. like away from everybody, just binging on Netflix. So it's going to kind of show its face in different ways for different individuals. Mm-hmm. If you don't address it consistently, and quickly.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's most important is recognition. So if you're not being kind of mindful of yourself and like realizing you're feeling that way, sometimes people are like, oh no, I'm feeling this way, I need to stay busy. And trying to work through their problems and not address it, just masking it, just like mm-hmm. alcohol does or video games do or whatever. You're masking the issue, you're putting a band-aid over the problem and distracting yourself, which in some situations may be relevant, but in others, like long-term, you have to fix the underlying problem of like, why are you getting to this point, mm-hmm. essentially.
Well, that kind of hit. I think yesterday, like today kind of hit me straight on and say, okay, something's going on. We got to start taking care of yourself better. And yesterday, I kind of realized it because I got real snippy yesterday, especially with Lee. And I'm normally not, I don't really have a short fuse. But it was just like,
based on what we've seen, you have an extremely short fuse.
What are you talking about?
You're the angriest person I've ever met in my
life. You are so full of it. I'm not an angry.
Look at you going off right now.
I'm not going off right now. Let me grab a knife real quick.
Exactly.
It's all talk. And it was just like little things that typically never really bother me.
Stop, dog, please help me.
Great, now I'm going to get arrested. But I was just getting real snippy. Like, I wasn't angry at her. I wasn't angry at anything else. Like, I was getting snippy at the dog. I was just like, stop breathing, you know? Because she was like, bitch, shut up.
Yeah.
It was just like everything was annoying me. It's like little things. And I was like, why am I just so, like, annoyed right now? And then I tried to go to bed, and then I fell asleep, and like I said, I woke up, and I felt like I had a great sleep, and it was like a half hour, and I was wide awake. I'm like,
it was a great sleep, great 30 minutes.
Right, but then my body was still tired, my mind was racing, I couldn't fall asleep. Then I woke mm-hmm. up real groggy. I'm thinking, okay, this has got to stop. And I think it's just, like today I went home for lunch, and then I just grabbed a quick lunch, and I just took a quick nap, and I felt better, but then I also forgot to eat the rest of the day, which didn't help. So I went like almost 6 hours without eating. So then all of a sudden,
angry.
Yeah. Well, actually, more. I just got like a heavy headache.
Yeah, I get headaches too.
I'm just like, geez, why am I getting a headache? I'm like, oh crap, I didn't eat today. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I gotta fix that. So the thing is, like you said, I recognized it, and now I kind of gotta fix it. And again, I can't say it's a bad thing because I got in the situation because I was helping people. But on the flip side, how good am I if I can't help myself?
Yeah, it's just an opportunity to improve. Essentially, you recognize, oh, here's a problem. Here's where I can improve my life and others by doing this for myself. Yeah.
It's not about like a specific moment in which anyone failed. It's just about identifying areas for continuous improvement.
Yeah. Like you were saying, like how much are you giving towards other people? When is it time to be selfish? And by selfish, I mean like you have to put yourself first and take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that fine balance of, you know, sometimes you can't help it and you're doing stuff for other people and you're booked up and there's really not much you can do about it. But other times you're like, I'm going to set aside this time for me. This is what I'm doing and I'm not going to bend for that or let anyone intrude on that time because this is my time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to make time to go to lunch actually on a regular basis instead of...
And take a full lunch. That was one of my problems is eating in 10 to 15 minutes and going straight back to work.
Yeah. See, I do a lot of that. I mean, mm-hmm. like...
Just try to get the work done. But then, yeah. I mean, your work's never going to be done.
Yeah. Like, what moment's going to be better than the next moment, essentially? Like, yeah. If you're always racing through things and be like, no, I'm going to get home quicker. And then, okay, then what?
Yeah.
Then you're going to find stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so yeah. It's not like you're
slow
going through a better moment. Yeah.
And really focus on that quality. So, like, with that in mind, we kind of know, like, when it's too far and stuff. So I think probably the most important step would be identifying everything in your life in which you're either taking in energy or giving energy. Yeah. And then kind of, I mean, you can do it on a piece of paper, really. Split it in half. Through your daily, what's taking your energy? What's exerting energy? Driving, waking up, whatever. Everything that's, you know, you put energy out. And then on the other side, what do you do to take in energy?
Sleep.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what else can you do? And then really, like, once you have that, then you could... go into the time chunks. Like, okay, well, 90% of my time, like a continuous amount of time, is spent giving energy out. And I only have maybe 10% of my day at the end of my day where I try to take energy in. Is that enough? Do I need to break it up? So really, like, just analyzing it. And I mean, you don't have to write it down, but that helps me if I get to see, like, because you would actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is driving stressful for you? Or is it peaceful for you? I mean, it depends on where you're driving, stuff like, for me, most of the time, like, when I'm driving, like, I'm just thinking, and it's not stressful at all for me.
Yeah.
I don't get, like, angry or get road rage or anything like that.
I sing a lot.
Do you? That's interesting.
Yeah,
I figured.
Did
you first singer? I just...
Back, all right. but anyway, like, driving may be stressful for some people. That because everybody probably knows.
Well, you see people
one person that treat it like a race, like an out race, and I don't. I'm just chill. I'm probably the guy you're getting angry at because I mean I'm going the speed limit, but I'm just chilling. I'm driving, so that's not something I don't consider I'm giving out energy, but that could be something where it is for someone else.
Same thing with exercise.
Exactly.
For me, it's taking in energy. For some people, it's probably...
Yeah.
I feel
it's
like,
taking
like,
in energy
right. I feel
for me.
Better. Like,
I feel good.
I like to sweat, yeah.
The podcast, that's an example of something where I feel like I'm taking in energy.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting to kind of recollect, reformulate my thoughts, bouncing ideas off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I feel good when you look at it, like, for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So, just kind of mapping it out, and then... looking at the times.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you're going to see most of the time giving out energy. I think our society as a whole, essentially you have people just grinding. And that's what you're kind of raised to do, just grind. Just
mm-hmm.
get up there, go to work, get a second job, go back to school.
Yeah,
so it's the norm. So it's not – I don't think it's a coincidence that we're seeing the most – the most disabling disease now is depression, and it's on the rise. I mean, that it kind of just makes sense. We're spending most of our time giving out energy, and we don't have the appropriate coping skills to take it in. And we think that, look forward to the weekend. We have to go to the weekend and drink.
That's our coping mechanism.
Go out and drink. That's our...
drinking and...
It's false idols.
Losing rhythm.
False idols, yeah. Sports.
I think a lot of it is we rely too much on false idols, like a new bag, a new pair of shoes, a shirt, a pair of pants, things that are materialistic, where they don't hold a lot of value to us other than a price tag.
But I could see the train of thought of, like, I have all this work and I have all this stress that I feel. I need something to show for it.
Yeah.
So let me buy a Benz, or let me take a loan out and get this.
Represents, like, it's a good representation of your hard work and time.
It's a tangible representation to it. But if you go home and meditate, there's nothing tangible there. You can't.
Yeah. What do you get to show off?
Right.
Yeah.
But again,
you can't throw that on Instagram.
But materials are, they really can't bring energy in. Huh?
So you can't put that on Instagram. But I guess, like, you take a picture of
Dave. I'm going to meditate. Take a picture of me.
Yeah, right. It's not really meditative then if you're doing
Yeah, yeah, throw on that filter. Lo-fi.
But I think a lot of it is, people, like, again, drinking, they have a mood change. And I guess when people buy something, it's a mood change. And I can see how they think that is bringing energy in, but there's always the after effect where it doesn't hold. Because,
it's not addressing the root. Or the problem.
That's the better
way. You're dealing with the symptoms, not the root. You're dealing with the symptoms, not the cause.
You're just putting a band-aid on the real issue. Yeah.
And it seems like even if you do drink or smoke weed or take a anti-anxiety medication, and I'm not knocking any of those things, but
maybe you did all those things tonight.
Yeah, and you're doing a podcast while drinking. I'm just kidding. But I'm not knocking each one of those things.
It might not be.
But it's seriously just, like you said, a band-aid over the problem, and you have to get to the underlying issue, whether that's counseling, meditation, working out, eating right, or being in a peaceful environment. I mean, those things, for me, all take energy in.
Mm-hmm. I always found writing as a good way of letting energy out as well bringing energy in.
Writing.
Like journaling. Okay. I have several notebooks with me all the time, and some of them are just like weird thoughts, just...
I saw those notebooks. I just saw the word penis written over like 3 pages.
Oh, well, that's what I had in my mind that day. But it's easy to just, you get lost in it. Like, they already told you if you're ever angry with somebody, just write everything you had out on a sheet of paper, and then eventually you'll feel better about it. And I've used that.
Oh, same. You're not supposed to mail it to him?
No. Why? Shit. Is that what that letter's from you from?
Don't open that. No wonder people just stop being my friends.
Oh, alright. I was excited when I got it in the mail.
No.
And I haven't opened it yet.
It's early for a Christmas card. What the hell, Dave?
I know. But, that's a way of just releasing a lot of energy. And I do it just to clear my mind. Because, sometimes it's just stuff that, like, you talk to yourself sometimes. I don't know if you guys do. I do. Mm. I hear voices all the time.
Do you? Auditory?
I don't hear my voice.
But... I always found that as a good outlet. A lot of the stuff I write, it's not for anyone else's eyes. It's just I write it, and then there's been times where I'll finish my notebook, and sometimes I'll even trash it.
Burn it.
I've burned it before. And it's just, I'm done right. Oh, here we go. And it is just releasing thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no bearing on anything in my life. It's just, I got all this crap in my head, and then you just write, and then all of a sudden you have a clear mind. It's like, oh, okay.
It also helps, it flexes like your... creative, like the creative portion of your brain as well. Writing does.
And see, I haven't written in any of those books in probably about a week and a half since I've been in this funk, and I think that has something to do with it. And again, my notebook's sitting right on the car seat. I'm like, I just put in my bag today. I'm like, why am I not using this? I have all this crap in my head, and it's not going anywhere.
It's kind of fascinating that we're talking about this because just like you, we kind of do the same thing as far as what our careers and. We're educating people in health and talking about sustainable, at least I talk about sustainable changes, and you can apply that same concept synonymously in all areas of health. And when we're talking about emotional health or mental health and taking energy in, again, you have these ideas, but trying to implement the concepts you tell the people about, starting slow with sustainable changes and make sure you have that habit, then go on to the next one. Essentially, you identify what you already know that you take energy in from doing. It's just implementing that in sustainable ways so you don't have these ebb and flows of and peaks and valleys of I'm doing it and I feel great, or I'm in a funk now. And, you know, that's essentially what I've been trying to do also with my life, is take a step back between the career and physical health and focus more on the emotional mental health and implement those changes and make sure I have a habit to implement more. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sounds like what you need to do is identify you like writing and this and that and do a little bit of that for 8 weeks, then go on to your next change and make sure you have these habits before you keep increasing them.
Right. And that's a lot of it has to do is where, you know, I feel like when it comes to the physical part of my aspect of life is I have to spend a lot of time on that because typically that's my career. It's a physical attribute where I have to be so mobile, so strong, you know, so flexible, so functional in certain aspects so I can teach people how to do these movement patterns and make sure that I can do them properly as well. I use it as a good source of bringing energy into the system. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, like we've all talked about, if I focus more on one aspect and not on the rest of the pillars, I'm going to crumble.
Yeah, and you can see how they're all synonymous, you know, or they work synergistically with each pillar, because you're saying you're mentally feeling fatigued, but you also physically feel fatigued, then you didn't eat. So, like, everything starts going
and
off.
And now my rehab is jacked up because I'm not sleeping well.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so
then you're emotionally unstable.
Yeah. I mean, and then we have to deal with you.
Yeah, and then we have to call the police.
We're working on the emotionally stable part.
Yeah, but it brings up a good part.
People are going to think I'm some messed up mental case now. I'm not. I'm actually sane, people. I'm not a crazy individual.
He's lost his business because of this podcast.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to have to cancel the rest of our...
You know what 100% of crazy people say? I'm not crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
But what's fascinating is a new study that came out from about nutrition, about the mental health aspects, and it wasn't so much about eating right, but it was actually about supplements, which normally I'm not in favor for, but they've shown great benefit of kind of mega doses of vitamins and supplements for mental health benefit. Of that, obviously vitamin D and fish oil, and as they do more work with genetic testing, they're finding out everyone can't eat right and get the same benefit. There's some people who have a gene mutation. I think it's called MHTFR gene mutation. So if you eat folic acid containing foods, essentially if you have this gene mutation, your body can't process it in your brain, which leads to decreased mood, anxiety, depression, neuroticism, things like that. So these people with this certain gene mutation have to take a bioactive version of folic acid, which is either folinic acid or methylfolate. So it's something to take in consideration. If you know you're doing everything right, or you think you're doing everything right, nutrition's a part that you can focus on to further improve your energy that you're taking in. And sometimes it's just your genetics. Like you have gene mutations and you can't process some of the foods correctly.
That kind of hits the head, because there's sometimes I'll eat foods and I feel like my mood has changed positively, and there's sometimes eat foods where my mood's changed negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not always, you know, bad food that causes the negative effects. Sometimes it's actually eating healthy foods, and it could be just my body just didn't break down the food well, or it could be a lot of other issues. But you hit that in the head where, you know, sometimes your food intake can dictate a lot how your mood will be.
Yeah.
You kind of just follow off of that.
We're in the very beginning stages of nutrigenetics and even genetics in general, but it's kind of like the Wild West. If you think about that part of history of like anything goes, that's what we've been dealing with. I feel like when they look back on this, like, they're doing what? Right. No wonder their studies couldn't show anything, because you have all these genetic variants, and I mean, people are processing things different. Like, who knew that you couldn't just eat right and fix things, because you have the thing, you know, let food be thy medicine. Mm. And people's like, yeah, screw, you know, big pharma and just eat food. But the reality of it is it's not on either side. It's somewhere in the middle where you have to be knowledgeable about your genetics, and sometimes food alone can't help you because you have genetic mutations. It is what it is.
So you realize that cheese curls aren't good for you?
Yeah.
They make me feel good.
They make me feel bloated.
It made me feel good in the moment. And the next morning, bad.
It's like typically I'll have a Big Mac at McDonald's like once every other year, and I'll eat. I'm like, oh, it tastes so good. And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, why did I do that?
Oh, you can go get the Grand Mac or whatever now.
What is Grand Mac?
They like change the sizing of it essentially.
Is it bigger?
I think that
we're all intrigued.
Oh my god, is it here? What is it?
I don't know. I honestly don't.
Is America getting fatter because of this?
He has like four rappers in the bedroom.
It's like Big Mac is too small for America.
I vaguely heard about something.
I heard about this. Don't look in the trash can. Don't look in the bathroom where I threw it up.
You have like three of them in the fridge.
He has like a killer case of bulimia. We don't know about.
Yeah, boilemia. Because wow. I'm a... Never mind.
I get it. I get it.
I was just imagining where you keep all your purged food. You have a special closet for it.
I do.
We probably shouldn't joke about this.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay, so it's a Grand Mac. All right, so it's a bigger Big Mac, I guess.
I think so.
Okay. Wow, that's going to be great.
Go get one!
Who has the anger issue?
You.
I'm not even sure what we're promoting anymore.
I don't have an issue. Yeah. I'm doing fine.
You just raised your voice at me.
Yeah.
See? That's energy out. You just...
No, that's actually energy in for me.
It's out for me.
Cause you I yell and I scare you and I take part of your soul.
Maybe that's what it is. I feel less of a human right now. I feel weaker.
Dave feels much better after podcast. You feel defeated.
He just took 3 years, 3 days off my life.
Yeah. You like sit on the train tracks and you're like, I just don't know.
There's train tracks out there.
He's worse than smoking.
Knew it.
I'm the bad vitamin D.
Ha! Full puns tonight, yeah.
Absolutely. So, back to energy in, or out, or whatever it may be. So, let me guys ask you, would taking, I guess, so the antidepressant drugs and stuff like that, now they're trying to say, you know, marijuana can be used as well as to help with depression. Is that a real form of bringing energy in, or is it more of kind of like a Band-Aid?
That is for the individual to decide.
I think it's just like what we talked about with the nutrition part. I mean, you have nutrigenomics, which is seeing how your genetics in food influence one another. Same thing with a new type of medicine called precise medicine, where they're taking a look at your genetic code and seeing which medicines would benefit you, which would harm you, and what doses you need of them. And they're very new fields. So we have three people here. If three of us smoke weed, we're going to have three different results.
And it's like, how were you raised? How do you view weed? Like, all kinds of different factors.
So it's not just biological.
Yeah, as far as like your perspective going into that, you have that to consider along with the chemical reactions within your body.
So it's like so really, you go in with that.
It's all up to the individual.
Yeah.
Like, it really is based on the individual. They could look at it as taking energy in or they could look at it as taking energy out. It depends on maybe you get really paranoid or like something when you smoke weed or maybe it does calm you. Like, I don't know.
And it's the same thing with antidepressants because you threw that in your question as well. There's people who do well on them. There's people who obviously don't do well on them, and they commit suicide.
Yeah, I mean, it says it may trigger suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
So.
But isn't that why you take it, so you don't have that?
But again...
Well, not all depression. Like, not everybody who's depressed is thinking about suicide.
Yeah, so some people have suicidal ideations with depression. I know in the past I have, and it was, like, a passive thing. It was not like, oh, I want to kill myself. It's just, like, your brain functions...
Like if I stepped out in front of a bus right now?
It's very weird because I like to think of it like your mental immune system is so decreased. You have these intrusive thoughts or whatever, and it's not a reflection of who you are or your personality. It's just it is what it is.
In.
Yeah, exactly. So some people, antidepressants are lifesavers and they need that, and some people can't function off of them and their brain circuitry is just off.
Yeah.
And especially people who are bipolar with schizophrenia and things like that. They're doing very good research with functional MRIs and showing actual physiological difference with people with these conditions. But for other people, they just don't respond. The big population don't respond to some of these antidepressants, and they respond very well to cognitive behavior therapy, which is much safer and has done wonders for the healthcare community. But essentially, I don't think we should view weed or antidepressants or anything in a bad or good light. I think it's all situational. I think people like to put stigmas on both of them. Right. I'm like, no, everyone's depressed and they're just taking a pill to cover up things. There may be some truth to that in some people, and other people, like, that, it's like literally saving their life.
Yeah.
And both sides of whether it's antidepressants or weed, I believe that. But again, to get at the root cause of depression and anxiety, you have to go through counseling, because as we discussed, there's the biological cause, environmental, spiritual, psychological. There's all these different realms that go into it. If you want to think of the conditions to create depression or anxiety, you need those conditions, and it's not just one source.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, because, I mean, mentally we can, taking like a sugar water or a sugar pill, and we say it's going to help with depression. If we go into it thinking it's going to help, it could help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot, like you're saying, it all deals with the individual, and each case has to be looked at differently. And I think a lot of it has to be the same way, is things that I do that help, I guess, balance me may help an individual, but I guess each case is different. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I said, you know, me running, me working out, those are, and then writing, those are things that help balance me. Those may not be the those may be completely opposite for you. I mean,
yeah.
I could see some people being stressed out writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I enjoy it. I enjoy writing and hearing people. On the professional side, I enjoy writing and having people read my words, because it feels like I'm helping.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, there's stuff I write that no one's going to read. It's just, it's more just a release.
Yeah.
But I can see how some people would be real stressed out to mm-hmm. write and have their words be read. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of things I've probably written where someone has read, so this guy's full of crap.
Well, just look, I mean, if you want to take like a broader example, some people don't want to dance in front of other people. Some people like to dance in front of people.
Right.
Like Kelly.
Yeah. She thrives on it.
Yeah. She's been dancing. It's just part of her life. I guarantee it's something that she does, like, that
takes it in,
recharges her yeah. batteries. Whereas someone else may not like dancing in front of people.
It's more stressful.
We'll just call it out. I mean, that's me for sure. I started recently doing this, and literally I was getting tense and stressed, and I started sweating, not because I was dancing, just because of the stress and anxiety.
Dance sweats.
I got the dance sweats. And I don't know, just definitely taking energy away from me for whatever reason, and
yeah.
you know.
And you have to look at it like, source, how you were raised, how have you viewed dance, how is your just mental, your mental image of yourself going into it.
For sure.
All these things to consider just for one task.
Yeah, and that's a great example you just showed in the same light as taking an antidepressant or weed. It's the same concept of you have all these people with basically an idea of one thing, and it has so many different results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe for all, like, you were raised and weed was normal. Like, because
yeah.
look at, okay, take it, maybe we will not be, say it's not legalized, like, across the board, like, soon. Say it's only in the few states that it is. And you have kids that have been raised in states where it is legal.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. It's fine. And then maybe they get older and they move to a state where it's not legal.
And they're wondering, like,
and you have this conflict.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Not legal for so long, like, kind of our population. And then it's becoming legal. It's becoming this normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do you view it? Like, I've always been raised, and it's this bad thing. You're drawn to it. Are you drawn to it because it's a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, just so many different factors to consider with one topic, one subject, one object.
Yeah. Think about some of the people who lived in the Prohibition era of alcohol.
That's exactly what I was about to go to next.
Yeah.
As far as how alcohol is viewed.
Yeah, true. Because some people look at it as like, oh, he drinks a lot. Oh, taboo.
But back in the day, that was a legit coping mechanism of, you know, I need to calm my nerves down. I heard my grandpa and grandma say that all the time. I was making them highballs. That was the norm for them. And
like,
we,
with courage.
Exactly. But we now get to see the results of that. And being in healthcare, you see so many alcoholics and the problems that mental and physical
coping
problems.
Coping mechanism going into a crutch.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the same thing can be said for weed or working or sex. Like you said, everything. It could be a crutch, and it could be a band-aid over the problem, or you can do it in moderation and enjoy the benefits. But regardless of, you're talking about antidepressant, weed, alcohol, work, sex, whatever.
Food,
exactly. Yeah. You still have to get to the underlying cause and see how you can get more energy in and how you can look at the different thresholds that create those problems to begin with.
Yeah, because I guess the balance, I mean, it's all about balance with it, because we can take any mechanism that helps bring energy in, but if we overconsume that to the point where...
Or mask the problem.
Or it either masks the problem or we do too much of it. Again, like if you work out too much, you know, other things in your life will go away. So if you... Basically, everything that helps bring energy in, if we do too much of that to the point where we lose balance, it could also be the opposite effect.
Yeah. And I think a important kind of piece of advice that I learned just recently, what I shared with the video game thing, sometimes you can do something you enjoy and it's in moderation, and then at times it can get to a point where it is masking that problem and you don't realize it, and sometimes your friends are like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, you might disappear for a few days and be like, we're trying to get a hold of you, what's going on? And you need those checks and balances to be like, hold up, this isn't normal, because you can slip down a slippery road. So then trying to incorporate those things that could be used to mask problems and trying to find balance within that and be like, it's not good or bad, we just need the right amount of it, essentially.
And that's why it's also fantastic when you have like a good support structure. You worked hard to surround yourself with people that share your same principles, ideals, etc. They serve as your benchmark, you know. And really, like, frequently, at least regularly, discuss like ideals, goals, etc. with the people around you. Don't keep it all to yourself. That way, like, if you start to deviate, someone would be able to recognize it if you're not able to yourself.
Yeah. And I think to that point, just like if you had a good support system, I think there are core things that people need just across the board. And I don't have any science to back this up, but essentially I think that's, like you said, good socialization. So whether you're introvert or extrovert...
We're a social species.
Yeah. I think socialization's big for people's mental and physical health. I believe that being out in the sun, to a certain extent, is also good for a person's mental and physical health. Exercise and eating right and sleep. Those are things. So if you're using a lot of these Band-Aids to fix a problem and you're deviating from what keeps us as people, like socialization or being out in the sun and active, you're of course going to go downhill mentally and probably physically.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Mike, you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, it kind of hits all aspects of it. I mean, everything we do in life, we have to do it with a plan, with intelligence. We have to have it in moderation. We can't overindulge in anything, because eventually that will turn into a negative aspect. And then the other side to it is we also have to put boundaries on ourselves personally as well as others, so we don't put ourselves, the whole idea of, you know, burning a candle from both ends. Because for you and I, this means a lot to us, because we deal with a lot of people and our objective is to help individuals. And how good can we help somebody if we're not helping ourselves?
Yeah, it's very true.
And then, like, with Dave, you had the opportunity to do that assessment about a couple weeks ago. And the same thing is, your eyes were wide open, and, like, you saw things, and you interjected sometimes, and, yeah, that hip's doing this or that hip's doing that. If you weren't on top of it, how are you going to help an individual?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people go through the motions, and I see that a lot when it comes to, I'm not going to call them coaches, but to say trainers. You know, they're on their phone, they're texting or whoever they're doing with, and they're telling you, do 5 more reps, do 6 more reps, do whatever. And they're not really paying attention to the person that's actually is putting their body in someone else's hands.
Yeah.
And it's a disservice to the individual, but a lot of times people don't realize that's what they're doing is a disservice. And I can't say that's, to me personally, I don't like that to see it, but if an individual is paying for that, that's their right. You know, they think they're getting a good service, they're getting a good service. But it almost seems like sometimes, and I have seen it a lot with trainers, is they focus more on themselves. Because there'll be a chance where, I've seen it where, say I'm working with both you guys, I'm training you guys. I'll say, okay, Dave, give me 50 push-ups, do 50 squats. As you guys are doing that, I'm watching, but I'm going to do some pull-ups and pull-up bar. You know, like, as you guys are working out, I'm going to try to get a little something in for myself. And I think that is the point where they feel like they're doing something for themselves,
but it's crossing that line of, you know, too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that weighs into this or not, but I've seen it where, and that's more of an industry thing. That's not like an individual personal thing. That's more of like kind of, and that's probably one of the things that I have to focus on, where if I see that, I just have to swallow and be like, you know what? Because that does take energy out of me, where I focus on stupid things. And
that I used to do that a lot, really, as far as exerting energy. Focus too much on these things I can't control. These other people get angry about things, like visibly angry.
You ever have scenarios go through your head?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just different things that are completely out of my control and, to be honest, like none of my business. And since I've been focusing more inward on what I have control, like I'm happier. And I'm not wasting energy getting mad over something I don't have control. And again, it's not my business. If someone chooses to go to a service that I don't disagree with, why am I going out of my way to try to, quote unquote, educate somebody that doesn't necessarily want to any advice?
And I've gotten pretty good with that.
Any advice that I give, I absolutely will not give advice unless I'm asked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I've learned that. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Talking about advice given, which you guys will love this. I don't think I told either one of you this one, where I was working with a few athletes, and this kid, he's an independent fighter. And he said that he tried to fight at Ronin, but they wouldn't let him because he felt like they didn't think he was ready, but he thought Ronin was just taking his money, so he left. So he asked me...
What's his name? What's his address?
Yeah, we'll keep the name out of it. But he asked me, there's another guy at the man, I don't know if you met him. He does a lot of boxing at the gym. And I was working with an athlete, and the gentleman that boxes, that teaches boxing, he knows a little bit of my history of my combat experience. And they said, hey, this kid wants to know how to kick. Can you show him how to kick real quick? I'm like, all right, so just the simple kick, like, you know, just, you know, turn the hip, come down on top of it. And he would say, well, that's pretty good, but this is what I want to try. So he did this move, which basically he runs at his opponent and tries to sweep the leg.
Oh yeah, do that.
Well, I told him, like, well, that won't really work in a fight. And so basically he ended up telling me that he appreciates me showing him how to kick, but that is a basics, and when I fought is different than the way people fight today. And it wouldn't work in MMA.
Right.
And I was like, are you serious? You ask me for advice, I give it to you, and then you tell me what my style of fighting worked years ago when I used to fight, but it doesn't work now. I'm like, did it change that much? I mean, seriously? I mean, I think I would have loved it if he would have asked you, because I think you would have just been like, fine, get your ass kicked. I don't care. Yeah. I can kick your ass right now to save you the embarrassment that's going to happen to you in a week.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. And he ended up getting beat.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's someone who they went into it with their little cup full.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't receive anymore.
Yeah.
So.
But see, that's funny. It's like me asking Brad for nutritional advice, and he gives it to me. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
I'm gonna stick with
that. Happens the vast majority of the time. The vast.
Brad's like, this is real life.
This is my day.
Is it like, why ask for it if you're not willing to take it in? And again, he could have been like, oh, thank you for the advice,
the
and then
thing.
Talk about me behind like closed doors. But then he flat out tells me, what you're telling me is not going to help me today. It helped you years ago.
Maybe he had an agenda. It's hard to determine.
And again,
his agenda was getting his ass kicked, is what it was.
Again, you're expending energy right now.
Yeah.
And
you brought it out on me.
I didn't. But no, that's just an example of something small where really the moment he disagreed or whatever, just drop it, move on.
And that's how it should be. It's just be like, you know what?
Fine, do your thing.
Hope your face doesn't get back.
It doesn't impact you whatsoever.
Yeah.
Unless maybe his face is so beat up that he's driving next to you, he can't see, and he wrecks into you, and that's a very roundabout way for it to happen.
Oh, yeah.
If it does, then, I mean, hopefully he has insurance.
Right.
I personally, I don't even know if this is good or bad, but it's probably bad. I probably shouldn't say this, but...
please do that. You have my interest.
I try to be as detached as I can when it comes to giving advice, especially when I'm asked, because I'm so used to people doing what you just explained, that's my norm, or people like cussing me out, or, you know, whatever, because again, when you're in a clinical setting, you have so many different religion, ethnics, ages, whatever, and not all of them want the advice, and doctors are telling you to go in there. So I try to be as detached. If they want it, they want it. If they don't, they don't. And you have a job, and you have to go in there and do it. So that's how I approach it.
That's a pretty good approach, because then you're setting yourself up for failure on some aspects of it.
Yeah, being too invested too early.
Yeah. Last words, gentlemen.
That was my last words.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Moderation.
Moderation. Moderation. Moderation.
Ha ha ha! Good show!